What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, February 6th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, at Gary Witta.
Hello. Different day,
but the rare Witta Thursday.
Yeah, because I had to move a few things around.
You're not in Hollywood making deals, right? Who are you talking to down there?
You know what happens if you're not making moves?
Standing still.
That's right. So I've been making some moves, and that messed up my schedule a little bit, and... But, you know, I'll never leave you in the lay. We just moved it around. We just did a little bit of delayed gratification.
Well, this helps out, too, because you're always complaining that there's no news on Wednesdays.
And I come in on Thursday, and there's still no news.
There's news. We got plenty of stuff to talk about.
There's no
today.
Bombshell. I know.
I don't want a bombshell.
One of these days, I want to come in on a bombshell day.
Sure,
I don't think it's ever happened. Like, here's, like, mega news.
Xbox armies have stormed the PlayStation offices.
You would think,
breaking news.
You would think, just by the law of averages, the number of shows that I've done now, like, at least on one of those, it would have coincided with, like, a big bombshell news day.
Like
a console reveal or something.
Oh, okay, you know, well,
like,
okay,
I want that. I want, like, the big headlines.
Well, you should just come over and hang out.
I'm tired of doing the bullshit local stories, Chief.
I understand. I want the big one.
I want to cover the big national stories. Put me in.
I'm ready
for the big time.
Well, instead you have to come here and entertain us. It's been a while since you've been on.
It feels like because I was in LA all last week.
Yeah.
Making dem moves.
Yeah. What are you doing? What are you writing over there, huh?
Yeah, I'm working on some stuff.
You're at the DC office.
I was at DC.
You're wearing Christmas sweater.
I was at Marvel.
Yeah. What's that Marvel show working on? Which one are you doing? What do you got? When
there is something to say, I will say it. But you know, there's at least one thing that we'll be able to talk about very soon, and so stay tuned. But yeah, you know, just a good week. You know, working on a bunch of different projects, trying to get a few things off the ground.
Okay.
Nice also to just be in LA and hang out with a bunch of people I don't usually get to see.
Sure.
Hung out with the great Naomi Kyle, who,
of course,
you know, I rarely see since she moved to LA.
She's on We Have Cool Friends Monday.
She mentioned that she's coming up to San Francisco. So, yeah, just like nice to see people I don't usually see. You know, just to hang out with a bunch of, you know, I spend most of my day at home in my pajamas, just like talking bullshit on Twitter, because that's my outlet, because I don't get out very much.
Yeah, no one wants
but
to
when
talk
I'm
to
in LA, I get a chance to hang out with a bunch of people,
sure.
So it was good.
Well,
but I missed, yeah, obviously I missed this, missed you guys, and now it does feel like a long time since
well,
I've
while
been
you
on.
Were gone, of course,
yeah,
the Kind of Funny Best Friends went to patreon.com/kindoffunny and patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and funded the
oh,
Xbox
yeah, I was
pilot
keeping tabs
podcast
on that.
With you
it looked,
and Snowbike
it
Mike.
Looked like it might stall out.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Right.
God, I was hoping.
At the,
you know
end,
what I mean? The last thing I want to do is give you any more press, and there it was.
I was confused. Like, wasn't it like a $90,000 goal,
yeah,
and then it got moved to $85,000? Like, what was going on there? It felt like the goal was shifting a
when
little bit.
When we got down to the final hours there,
yeah,
you know, the final hour, I think it was, we looked at it, and we were going into the podcast, which means we wouldn't have been stumping as much for pledges or whatever.
Right.
So we were like, we'd have to ruin the flow of the podcast to remind people over and over again.
Right.
And you guys,
so you move the goalposts.
They've
a little
done
bit.
Well enough. We'll bring it down to 85 and put it there. There.
Well,
it
I know it's something that a lot of people have been excited about, mm-hmm, the idea of a dedicated Xbox show. And it just, this started as me just like kind of saying, "Hey, like, you have a PlayStation show, why not do an Xbox show as well?"
It's almost like people we wanted it.
Never let it be said that Kind of Funny doesn't, you know, respond to the, you know, the what the audience wants,
exactly,
to see. People said we want that to happen,
mm-hmm,
with Snowbike Mike,
yep,
and me.
Yep.
You know, there was a lot of calls for it. You put it on the thermometer, hit the goal, and now it's going to happen.
Exactly.
Snowbike Mike is very excited.
As he should be.
I could take it or leave it.
Yeah,
he's
of course. You're you. You're you. What do you got?
When are we going to shoot the pilot? When's that going to happen?
That's a whole different conversation.
We'll figure that out.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like, for the pilot, for the Xbox pilot, you want to have the most juicy news, right?
Yeah.
So are we waiting until the Xbox reveal? Are we waiting until the new studio? Are we doing something around the Xbox launch? Like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So when you say it's a pilot,
yeah,
does that mean that we'll just do one and then you'll see how it goes? And
I mean,
then
there could be multiple episodes of a pilot.
Is?
You know, we could do a pilot program or something.
Right.
We'll see what's up. Yeah.
Well, I'm, you know, whatever. Happy to work with Mike. By the way, I do want to give a special shout out to Mike.
Twitch.tv/SnowbikeMike.
Took my whole family up to Lake Tahoe.
Yep.
Where, you know, Mike works up there, and he's the man.
Mm.
And he hooked us up with everything, with like all the lift tickets and the gondola rides and sledding and tubing and lunch. Like, he totally took care of us. I didn't put my hand in my pocket like one time, because you know how much I hate to do that.
I've never seen someone
he
rich
totally
not want to spend
took
money
care
more
of us. We got the VIP experience. By the way, Mike up there, like, everyone, like, every, like, he knows everyone. Everyone loves him.
That's what I want to hear. We have the vision of Snowbike Mike, you know, on his mountain.
Like,
up
anytime
there, like
he
Mount
shows
Olympus
up somewhere, like, people are like, "Oh, it's Mike!" Like, they're always so happy to see him.
Yeah.
And so Mike was great. Again, thank you for taking such good care of me and my family up there. We had the best time in Lake Tahoe. definitely will be going back for more. It was my kid's first time seeing snow and playing in the snow. She loved it.
Yeah.
And really the perfect way to kind of kick off this new relationship that we're going to have hosting the Xbox. Because the Xbox show, I think, got funded like right before we went up there. So I said, hey, we're going to do the show together. It was like so cool. So I'm really excited.
Well, now here's before I know we usually get right to the nerdy news and all that jazz that you know about. There's one other thing we need to know about. Yeah. You asked us to do this. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't throw you out there.
All right.
You talked about eating. You talked about being on vacation. Oh, what's the weight of that? You wanted to be kept honest.
No, I've been really good. So I said that I was going to go on a diet. I wanted to get back down to my fighting weight. Because over the last few years, I put on a lot of stress weight from being a dad and working on stressful projects and all this kind of stuff. Having to do this, this is stressful. Because, I care so much about this.
I know how much
I care. It really stresses me out.
I'll get the 3 a.m. text
I'm
from you about it. You see this
news
story?
On a Tuesday night. Oh, my God. Little I hope I do a good job. I'm kind of funny tomorrow. I started on January 1st. It wasn't a New Year's thing. It just happened to coincide.
It's a good round number.
I want to start. Yeah, it's a nice place to start tracking it. I lost 18 pounds so far. Thank you very much. I don't think it's noticeable yet or anything, but I feel really good on it.
If you feel good on it,
I feel good. It's a good start. I'm going to keep going. Like I said, coming on here and talking about it is a great way to keep me honest.
Yeah.
Because if I fuck up, I don't want to have to come in next week and go, I put on a pound this week because I fucked up. I actually want to keep going. I want to get under 200 pounds. I started at 252.
Okay.
I was 252 pounds. That's the heaviest I've ever been. I'm currently 235, 234, something like that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get under 200. So I told you, at the end of, by the summer or whatever, when I've hit that, I want Corey or one of the best friends out there to do a little thing, and you'll see me shrink.
Sure.
Yeah.
I like that a
lot. It'll be fun. We'll do it.
All right.
All right. That's it. What's in the news?
Well, from that fun note, coronavirus is starting to hit video games. Rod Ferguson is leaving the Coalition and more. We're going to talk about it because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with your questions, your comments, your concerns, and of course, your squad up requests. If you go there, you can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show. If you're watching live, however, you can go to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You should then go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Gary, I never asked you to perform. Perform this first bullet point because it's been going around here this whole, we have a side, as they say in the business. You know what I mean? Andy Cortez wrote this. All the hosts have been doing it so far. Of course, it says, use an epic esports announcer's voice.
I don't know if I can do an epic esports announcer voice.
Do an epic soccer announcer's voice, then. It's coming down the pitch.
Let me try. What is this? Is this for Andy?
Yeah, Andy's going to do a meet and greet over there, that thing.
All right. Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington, are you ready to get locked and loaded? Andy Nitro Rifle Cortez will be in town February 8th and 9th for the opening day of Overwatch League Season 3. There will be panels, activities, meet and greets, and much more. Buy your tickets now at DallasFuel.com and get ready to burn blue!
Holy shit, dude!
How was that?
Gary took it by a mile.
How is everyone better than me at this?
He clowned all of us.
How was
all
that?
All of us. That was awesome, Gary.
That was above and beyond all expectations.
Holy shit.
Wow. Is that just your American accent?
It's the Truckosaurus bullshit over the top voice.
Holy shit, dude. Fuck.
That was awesome.
Yeah? I can be your hype man now.
You should. Yeah. You should just be VO. Yeah, get in that dreams. Do that. Speaking of, we're streaming Dreams with Media Molecule Friday, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 2 p.m. Pacific. You can get it later, of course, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames if it works as a podcast on Gamescast feed as well for first impressions. Thank you to our Patreon producers. There's a lot, of course, from fundraising. The Nanobiologist, Frankfurter, Blackjack, Patrick Higgins, Mohammed, Katie Gallagher, Joe Beezer, Ginny, Dom Dom, Drew Garnier, and Travis Gajkowski. He wrote me an email to tell me how to say his name again. Thank you very much, Travis Gajkowski. I'm very proud of that. Today we're brought to you by Manscaped, Brooklinen, and Raid Shadow Legends, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some game news with Barrett. Six items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
See, you're trying to eat that Pop-Tart, but I won't let you because I keep letting you make me go the doot, doot, doots. You know what I mean? I'll add some stuff in there. Number one, the coronavirus has its eyes set on video games. This is Richard Wakeling at GameSpot to begin talking about Nintendo. Then we will go to Business Insider's Dan Gilbert. Production and shipping of the Nintendo Switch, Joy-Con controllers, and other Nintendo peripherals like Ring Fit Adventure will be delayed due to the outbreak of the new coronavirus in a move the company says is unavoidable. Nintendo notes that this will only have a direct impact on the domestic Japanese market, but Daniel Ahmad, senior analyst at games market research firm Nikko Partners, told CNBC that it could become a problem in the U.S. and other markets too. Quote, China is important for manufacturing of some game hardware, phones, and other components. And we believe that the entire supply chain of manufactured goods will be impacted, much more than just games, Ahmad explained. When looking at games consoles specifically, we note that 96% of video game consoles imported to the U.S. in 2018 were produced in China. Companies such as Nintendo have moved some manufacturing abroad. China still accounts for the majority. Due to the Sino-U.S. Sino-U.S. trade war affecting supply chains, Nintendo began moving some of its production from China to Vietnam in 2019. But the Southeast Asian country doesn't have enough capacity to offset the disruption caused by the coronavirus outbreak. We will continue to work to deliver products as soon as possible while paying close attention to the effects of the new coronavirus infection, and we look forward to your understanding, Nintendo said in a statement. The coronavirus has spread across the world and claimed the lives of over 500 people since originating in China. Aside from its effects on Nintendo's production and shipping, the virus has also impacted video games in other ways. Sales of Plague Inc., the real-time strategy game about creating a deadly pathogen, recently spiked as people purchased the game, trying to gain a better understanding of how viruses can be spread. Blizzard was also forced to cancel multiple Overwatch League events in China, and organizers of the Taipei Game Show postponed the annual show until later this year. Scary stuff, Gary. We've heard about coronavirus, obviously, quite a bit.
Coronavirus is no joke.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the official advice is, like, nobody really needs to panic yet, but, like, you know, do all the things that you're supposed to do. You know, wash your hands, practice good hygiene, don't do stupid stuff. You know, don't go to China if you can avoid it and
sure.
things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a real thing. You know, we just got an alert at my kid's school saying, like, if your kid has a cold or a flu, definitely keep them home because, you know, there's no, you know, you always practice an abundance of caution. Obviously, much more important that we worry about that than
1,000%
timely console deliveries.
At no point
having
are we
said
that,
if this affects my Animal Crossing Switch Special Edition, I'm going to fucking kick some tables over.
Gary, what if it affects your PlayStation 5 or Xbox One or Xbox Series X?
I only care about the Animal Crossing, the Switch
person.
Animal
Dan
Crossing.
Dan Gilbert at Business Insider continues, similarly, as Microsoft and Sony ramp up production of their next-generation consoles, those launches could see delays or at least constrain launch supply due to the coronavirus outbreak.
Ooh.
Quote, the video game sector is currently manufacturing or beginning to a once in several years production generation change for the 2020 holiday season, a note from Jeffrey Groups published this week says. If company shutdowns exceed a month or so, game schedules will be delayed. New consoles may likewise suffer supply issues from a prolonged disruption ahead of their fall 2020 planned launches. Put more simply, next-gen consoles and the games being produced for these consoles may get hit with delays due to the coronavirus outbreak. Though most major video games are made in North America, Europe, and Japan, large components of those games are outsourced to China. As much as 30 to 50% of art creation in Western games is done in China, according to the note. In terms of hardware itself, nearly 100% of manufacturing takes place in China.
If Sony said to you, hey, Greg, you can have a PlayStation 5 now at launch in
sure.
November, but it's a slight chance it might have coronavirus, or you can wait until February or March and it'll definitely not have coronavirus, would you wait or would you take your chances?
What's the launch lineup for PlayStation 5? All right, I'm not going to jump blindly into this. I saw this thing on the news yesterday. These guys just got funding for this weird UV thing. They're sending through planes to, like, eradicate germs on the seats or whatever.
Right.
So watch this as I was in an airport getting ready to get on a thing. Everybody's walking by in the masks. I'm like, all right, yeah.
Seeing a lot of masks at airports these
yeah.
days. Which, you know, again, I get it.
Do what you got to do.
So, no, that was a good answer to the question.
Pat upon
three. You're going to risk the coronavirus.
Pat upon three.
You are going to risk coronavirus.
Hold on, everybody. First off, put some respect on the name. Pat upon three is a remaster. So, no, I wouldn't risk it all for Pat upon three. What
Pat
were you
upon
about
four. Oh, no, I got you.
I got it. Yeah,
I got him.
I'm in.
I got him.
For Horizon Zero Dawn 2.
Yeah. No, you got me. I
can just see Greg in like a
loud break suit.
In like a hospital ward, like a sealed off like contagious diseases ward with a hooked up to all going totally worth it.
Yeah, totally, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got the Lysol wipes, right?
Man, I would totally.
I'm a germaphobe, right? I don't even get sick that often. Knock on wood, because
you beat cancer, Greg. Exactly. Coronavirus has got nothing
about washing my hands and stuff.
I don't know. It's scary.
I know. Everything's scary out there. You know what I mean?
I'd wait.
Huh?
You would wait.
You'd wait.
Yeah. If it was like Spider-Man 2 launched on there, I would still wait.
You would still wait.
Yep.
Is there nothing that would convince you to wait?
Batman.
To get it right away.
WB Montreal's next game, Rocksteady's game, whatever, are both launch titles for the PlayStation 5.
Yep.
Crawling with coronavirus.
I don't think it'll happen, though.
It doesn't. No, this is a hypothetical. You don't get to say what you think is going to happen. I also, for the record, don't think coronavirus is going to cancel the PlayStation 5 launch. And or delay it inevitably. While you think...
That was going to be my next question. Do you think
that... No, don't say that, Frankfurter.
What?
Frankfurter has that question.
Oh, okay.
Frankfurter writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good morning, Greg and Gary. It's finally happened. The coronavirus is having an effect on the games industry. Well, that's to say you don't already own a Switch. Due to the outbreak, it's caused Chinese government to extend their Lunar New Year, which in effect shuts down most businesses, including the factory that makes Nintendo's console.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of this being a holiday factory shutdown, do you think that the coronavirus has a chance to really put games as a whole on pause? That is, outside of a zombie apocalypse.
Are we going to see empty shelves? Like, will this have a real impact, do you think, is the question, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think?
It's tough to say. I don't want to underplay it, because it is a huge epidemic right now, and I do think it's only getting bigger at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I say all that, kindoffunny.com/wrong, correct me. I'm not keeping up on coronavirus every day. I'm sure some of it is panic, but I do see these exhausted doctors on Reddit, you know what I mean? Like the running out of hospital beds kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it will.
You know, there's already been a couple of Bay Area cases.
I know. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's we're a global community. To sit there and talk about countries and that's the problem, it's too late.
Right.
We've all seen that Planet of the Apes movie. We see how fast this can move around.
Right.
Remember that? James Franco?
It's true.
Planet of the Apes guy got coughed on. He was the
pilot.
You
know, it's funny. The Plague Inc. Salesman Gundam. Also, the movie Contagion, which is about a viral outbreak, has been shot. It's back in the iTunes top 10 because people are all watching it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird, right? So there's a real outbreak. There's this real humanity-defining event right now, and like we're like, we need to wrap our heads around it. Let's play this video game about it, and let's watch this movie.
Yeah, although, credit to, if you've never seen it, the Steven Soderbergh movie Contagion is actually a very realistic... It's not like a Hollywood action movie. It's like, here's like a really realistic look of what a major pandemic in the U.S. would look like.
Right.
And it's very... sober and realistically done, and it's actually more about how the real enemy is panic.
Yeah.
So like Jude Law's character is out there like spreading fake news and making people fucking freak out.
Thank God that's
he's giving them all the wrong information, and that's actually creating a worse problem than the outbreak itself.
Totally.
If you've never seen it, it's worth watching. It's really good.
I mean, if you knew that, play Division, right?
Right.
Remember that? It was all about that. Dollar
right.
flu.
Dollar flu.
Charles J. writes in and says, more people are dying from regular flu at the moment compared to the coronavirus, and the virus can't live more than 6 hours on a surface, so waiting for a PS5 is absolutely silly. So
yeah, no one's saying it's not a real problem, and people are dying, but like it's also like the flavor of the month news story, right? The news
remember
media
swine
loves
flu,
to jump on.
Yeah,
SARS.
Flu,
I mean, again, these were all real things. Bird flu, Y2K.
That wasn't a real thing as much.
Were Barrett probably, I don't know, were you born? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Could you remember things though?
Can
you remember things though?
Like some of my earliest memories were like seeing Phantom Menace and shit like that. Like I remember things in 99. I don't remember.
Okay, so you don't remember Y2K.
But I don't remember the Y2K panic.
Prior to Y2K, were you like, what load of shit? Or were you like, in any way, like, I don't know, maybe. What if it does all go to shit?
I had that moment. I remember I was downstairs, Raw. Or no, it wasn't Raw, but WWE was doing some kind of New Year's countdown on USA or whatever. And I was watching it, and it happened, and nothing happened. And it was that thing. I'm like, oh, nothing happened. Like, everybody expected it would.
Right.
But I remember you're a kid. You're like, but wouldn't it have been cool if something happened? Right. Not like planes falling from the sky and everybody dead, but you know what I mean? Like, computer just doesn't turn on. He's like, I'm sorry, it's 1900. I don't exist. Like, that was what we were all worried about, right?
Right.
Oh, sorry, you can't use your bank account. You won't be born for another 83 years. Like, what? What are you talking about?
But if we're still playing to the theoretical, Greg, and it wasn't like this whole, like, oh, it can go away in 6 hours on surfaces and stuff like that, I would say I would still wait, but then I would play Batman on the PC.
Are you particularly like germophobia or anything like that? Or
I'm not like I'm not to the level of Greg, but I'm not trying to fuck around and like get like any kind of cold or like, and not just coronavirus, but like I'm not trying to like even have the possibility of getting sick. I know it's inevitable every once in a while, but I'm not trying to like dive deep into germs and shit.
I remember like I'll give you an like a weird piece of trivia. Like, I can't give blood. I'm not allowed to give blood. Wow. I would like to. I think it's a good thing and more people should do it, but like I'm banned from doing it because I lived in the UK during the mad cow scare. And that's still, even though like nothing ever really came of it, that's still a thing. Like, I tried to give blood a few years ago and they were like, oh yeah, sorry, like because you were a resident of the UK during this period, like we, because it has, it's possible that it's a billion to one that like it's still incubated, but like not symptomatic.
Yeah.
But like if anyone's got it, it's me. Because I was reading the news and I saw it for what, again, this is a media sensation. The chances of there being any meat, like human, like meat for human consumption having it is like it's a billion to one. But because of the panic, butchers all over the country were massively discounting their meat because they could. So I ate more steak. I was buying like ribeyes and amazing steaks for like a quarter of what they would normally cost. I ate more meat during Mad Cow than probably ever in my life because it was so cheap. It was just great. Like, everyone's panicking. I will benefit.
And you won't buy a PS5.
So it's entirely possible that I will turn into some kind of like cow werewolf at some point in the future.
Don't think that was one of the symptoms. Don't think that's how
I don't know what's going to happen.
Number two on the Roper Report, Rod Ferguson is leaving the Coalition. He tweets, starting in March, I will join Blizzard to oversee the Diablo franchise. Leaving is bittersweet as I love our Gears family, the fans, and everyone at the Coalition and Xbox. Thank you. It has been an honor and a privilege to work with you all. If you needed more, Charlie Hall at Polygon has this little summation. Ferguson's career in the games industry started with Microsoft in the 1990s. In the early 2000s, he joined Epic Games, where he participated in the development of the Gears of War franchise. In 2015, he joined The Coalition, the studio that Microsoft put in charge of the Gears of War after buying the franchise from Epic Games. The Coalition's name is a nod to the Coalition of Governments, COG, from the Gears of War lore. Gears 5 launched at the end of 2019 to critical and commercial success. Polygon's review called it an unexpected open-world journey that excels just as well when it's quiet and introspective as it does when it's as loud as the Coltrane.
Still got to play Gears 5.
It's
great.
It's on the xCloud, man. You can get up there.
Well, I mean, I've got it on Game Pass. It's all good. So do you know Rod Ferguson? Do you know him at all?
I know him through internet and industry stuff. If I saw him in a hallway, I'd be like, oh, hey, Rod. I'd be like, hey, Greg. And we talk for a little bit. But I don't know him.
But
like,
he seems like
super
a very smart guy.
Oh, he's a great dude.
It seems like a win for Blizzard.
Yeah.
And boy, does Blizzard need a win right
don't
now.
Don't they? Yeah, yeah.
Have you been covering this Warcraft 3 stuff? The Reforged stuff?
Yeah, we have.
I mean, it's been coming up in my YouTube recommendations. It seems like they really dropped the ball again.
If correct me if I'm wrong, I believe what I saw was rather than watch the State of the Union, you didn't want to get mad, so you watched.
Oh
the
yeah,
Gears
I,
was,
I, can't, I can't watch this. I can't watch this. I can't. That motherfucker is not welcome in my house. And so I was just watching YouTube videos of people complaining about all the problems with Warcraft 3 Reforged, and like Blizzard's been on the ropes enough with the fucking China stuff and. Yep. And now this, like, it sounds like they really, really fucked up. Blizzard seriously needs, like, I mean, again, like an injection of fresh talent or something, because they are not on a good track right now.
And that's the thing you hope Rod brings, right? I mean, again, with everything that Blizzard's gone through in the past year, but I mean, like, I'm talking about, really the last 6 months, you know what I mean? Yeah, you want to bring in new leadership. You want people to come in there and not be shackled down, not even have the smell of all the shit they've gone through already, right?
Right.
Come in there and like say we're moving this in the right direction as they move towards
Diablo
4.
I think it seems like a good hire because like at this point, Blizzard needs a win.
Yeah.
Diablo 4 could be that win. That could be the thing that rights the ship. But again, it could easily, if it doesn't come out right, like they cannot afford to fuck that up. Like Diablo 4 has to be a copper bottom hit with the fans.
Yeah.
Like this is their big chance to get it right. Because Overwatch 2 kind of feels like, really? You just stuck a 2 on the end? It doesn't seem like you've done very much.
Yeah.
Warcraft 3 Reforge is a fucking disaster. They need a big hit, and this is their opportunity to get one.
Yeah, we all wish Rod success, like I said.
He's good luck to him. I mean, I want these things to be good. I want Diablo 4 to be good. I want Blizzard. Make Blizzard great again.
Yeah,
that's what we need.
Where do you come down on
blue
it, right?
hats?
Yeah, exactly. Where do you come down on Diablo 4 and how to handle that? Like you and I weren't happy with the Blitzchung situation, nor the response that Blizzard did finally put out. Right.
Mm-mm.
So, like, does that mean Blizzard's dead to us forever? Do they have to do something else?
They've got a lot of work to do, and you know, these things have a way of blowing over. I remember when all the Blitzchung stuff was happening. It's like, this is all great, but like, gamers have short attention spans. In a few months, we'll have forgotten all about this.
It wasn't even bad right at BlizzCon. Like, there was protests outside, but like, I remember in the heat of it, when it was happening, we were like, holy shit, BlitzCon's going to be fucking off the rails and insane, and it wasn't.
So when I say Blizzard's got a lot of work to do, what I mean by that is like, it has to also be the right kind of work. Like just coming out, unfortunately, if Diablo 4 comes out and is an absolute banger, for a lot of people, all past sins will be forgiven. But I don't believe that's right. The work they have to do is not just get back to making great games, although they have to do that right now because they're not making great games right now. They're making shoddy games that are pissing off their fans. Yeah. They need to make a good game, but they also need to address these other issues. Like the Blitzchung thing, and maybe a lot of people have forgotten about it. I haven't. That hasn't gone away. They did something really shitty. They failed to address it. They gave a mealy-mouthed non-apology. And I think they just hoped that they could batten down the hatches and rely on, you know, that this would all be forgotten about.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have to fix that as well. Like they have to address all these issues. We'll see what happens. I hope they do. Blizzard used to be a great company. I don't think it is a great company right now. It used to be. I think it can be again, but they need to make some changes.
On a different track of this Rod conversation, Anakin JMT writes in and says, "Happy Widow Wednesday." I know it's Thursday. With Rod Ferguson announcing that he was leaving the Coalition to oversee Diablo, Cliff Bleszinski tweeted out that he was willing to consult on the Gears franchise and that it was Microsoft's move.
Oh, I didn't see that. Good for Cliffy.
Can you pull it up for me, Barrett? In his, I think it might have actually been an independent thing, but if you go to his tweets and replies, you'll see it in there. Do you think Microsoft would be willing to take him up on this? And if so, what do you feel Cliff could contribute to Gears in return? I'm sorry, contribute to Gears to return it to the massive success it was on 360. Not that Gears 4 and 5 aren't great and well-received, but they don't seem to get as much attention from gamers as the original trilogy did. So yeah, as this news broke yesterday, Cliff Bleszinski put up a tweet. If you throw up his Twitter for me to see, Barrett, I can direct you to it. It's the one where you're in his tweets and replies. Right there, you found it. Throw that up full screen for me. So yeah, yesterday Cliff tweeted, "Offer still stands to consult on the Gears franchise, Microsoft. Your move." Rod had a bunch of my and Mr. Lee Perry's unused ideas sitting on the cutting room floor. If you scroll down, IGN's own Ryan McCaffrey chimes in. I think a lot of folks on this thread don't realize that consult doesn't mean work full time. Cliff says, "Yeah, chalk it up to that with not understanding NDAs, IP ownership, PR, marketing, P&L, blah, blah, blah." You know, the usual of people popping in there and doing all this different stuff. So do you think there's a possibility, Gary, that Microsoft turns to Cliff Bleszinski and brings him in to consult or to be on it? Sounds like, according to this, that Rod did consult.
I follow Cliffy on Twitter, so I don't know how I missed this. What happens is sometimes I get behind on my tweets and I'm like, oh shit, I've got 300 tweets. And rather than read them all, I just fucking skip over them. Mm-hmm. So I missed that, so I'm just hearing about it now. This is interesting and surprising news to me in a number of ways. First of all, I assumed that Cliffy was done with games. Like,
I talked about this yesterday, I guess, on Games Daily. Who are we talking about? You ran the show yesterday, Barrett. Remember this? Where I was like, it's not like that. Who were we talking about leaving yesterday?
Oh, God.
Anyways, we were talking about Dan Houser. And I was like, Dan Houser is out. He's done with games.
Right.
He's going to go retire.
Yeah, and he's got fuck you money, so he can go do whatever
he wants. I was like, Cliff Bleszinski is the opposite of that. Where Cliff is, he's already done it once. Where I've cashed the checks, I'm done with games, and then he got the itch and he came back and did
Some people
key.
Can't do it. I remember, you know,
he Peter
Molyneux retired from making games like twice, and he sat on a beach for 6 months and was like, I can't do this, I got to create something, and he got back in.
Yeah.
The impression I got from Cliffy was that he was done. It was, you know, he's got a great life. You know, he's got a very happy life out in North Carolina.
Musicals.
Lovely
now, right?
Wife, producing hit musicals. He's an investor in various restaurants and stuff. He's got all kinds of other interests now.
Yeah.
I got the impression that he had left games behind. At the same time, though, I switched careers. I went into Hollywood, but like, games will always be in my DNA, which is why I'm still doing this, and I still like to do other things that are related to games.
Can I pop in real quick?
Yeah.
You, I think, can add a wrinkle to this that I know very little about. He's talking about consulting on a game.
Yeah.
You've done that, right?
Yes.
Didn't you with the last season of The Walking Dead?
I did it on the last season of The Walking Dead. I did it on Halo 5. I've done it on many other projects.
So what does
that
exactly mean?
Because of NDAs.
Do you just pop in every so often and do a check on the script?
I mean, it depends on the nature of it. Like, when I do it from a narrative perspective, what usually happens is I sit in a room with the writers and the creative team, and we, like, you know, it's like a writer's room. You spitball ideas. Sometimes it might involve looking at documents and giving notes, you know, consulting. Like, that can, yeah, that yeah. can take a number of forms. But it's usually, like, it's not what I do all day, every day. Like, when I worked on Halo 5, I went up there one day. I went up to Seattle one day a week and sat with them in the room all day, and that was it. You know, on The Walking Dead, I sat in the room on season 4 for a whole week.
Yeah.
But that was all I did. I was just 1 week. And again, it did, you know, the nature of it can be whatever, you know, again, if I were Microsoft, I'd say to Cliffy, you can be involved as much or as little as you like. I forget, Cliffy created Gears of War. He's the fucking man. He's the daddy of Gears of War. And I actually consulted on Gears of War back in the day, in the original game, when Cliffy said, I'm building this world. Will you help me come up? I wrote a bunch of stuff. I don't know how much of it ended up getting used, but I wrote a bunch of stuff for Gears of War back in the day.
Did you make Marcus?
No. He already had Marcus. So, yeah, I mean, who knows what it might look like. I think that, again, I'm actually glad that Cliffy is interested, because the impression I got from him is, like, I'm fucking done. I am out. Buy games. I'm doing something.
I feel like
this is the next chapter of my life, and games is great, but, like, I'm done. You know, done with Fish. Remember that from Adaptation?
Yeah.
He's like, done with games. But the fact that he has reached out to Microsoft, I think, is both surprising to me, but also great, because Cliffy's a tremendous talent, and the games industry would be better with him in it. So I'm all for it.
I think consulting makes it such a gray area, right? Where I don't know if he just pops by one day to see what's up. If that's then, okay, you've consulted.
It can be, it's such a wide, I mean, it could be anything.
What Gears needs, and this is nothing to Cliff, this is nothing to anybody who's worked on it, this is nothing. They need to take time off of Gears, and when they do come back, it needs to be radically different. You said it yourself, right? Of like, oh, I still haven't played Gears 5, right? But I hear it's great.
What is the state of the Gears of War franchise right now? Because Gears 5 was a big critical hit. Everyone loved it,
right?
But I don't know if it did a lot of business.
It did, like, fine. Like, that's the thing. Is, like, I mean, you know, Polygon probably knows better than me. They call it a critical and commercial success. Obviously, it was on Game Pass and stuff, but it didn't have the staying power of people talking about that nonstop.
It didn't
make it into the Game of the Year conversations.
Would you consider Gears of War to be a tier one franchise?
Not anymore.
No?
I think in terms of it's you're playing with loaded dice when you talk about it on Xbox, right? Because Xbox has, at the moment, so few standout exclusives, right?
Right.
That's not what you think.
I wonder if Gears of War's importance is inflated because they have so few. It's like,
it
it's one of the few crown jewels that they have.
And this is going to sound very offensive, I'm sure, to a lot of different peoples for different reasons, but stick with me. Gears reminds me so much of Killzone, where PlayStation kept trying to make Killzone a thing and make Killzone really this, hey, we're the...
But it never really stuck.
And don't get me wrong, that Gears, when it hit on 360, holy fucking shit. Gears was amazing and beautiful and changed the way we played third-person shooters and all this different stuff. I think that it, in the way, one of the things I always applaud PlayStation developers for, first party, right, is the reinvention, right? That Naughty Dog could still be there right now doing Jack and Daxter. They could just do that. They could still just be doing Uncharted, but they keep changing up, right? You look at Sucker Punch. They could still just be doing Sly. They could still just be doing Infamous. They could still... No, they're going to do Ghost of Tsushima, right? Even Insomniac getting away from Ratchet, bringing it back here and there, but like doing Spider-Man, doing VR, changing it up. I feel that as you've seen those developers go, you've seen their brand grow, right? Now when Game Awards happens in 2021 and there's it goes dark, it says it's a black screen and the Naughty Dog logo pops, everybody pops. They know what that fucking means. And it's because they didn't sit there making Jack nonstop and they didn't sit there making Uncharted nonstop.
I agree.
Gears is in a place of where God of War was. I don't care. I mean, great. God of War 3 is great. God of War Ascension wasn't. Whatever. Everybody's like, at this point in mind, in timeline, I've made up my mind on what I think about God of War, right? And I'm talking myself when I hated Kratos or whatever. At this point in the timeline, I've made up my mind of what I think of Gears of War. Where it's like, oh, I hear it's great. Tim really liked it. It's not many people are saying Game of the Year. I'll get to when I get to it. I'll try it out more on xCloud, blah, 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 blah. When Corey and that team of Santa Monica put out God of War, right?
Yeah.
And that was suddenly like, holy shit, this is totally different. This is insane. This isn't the same thing.
I mean, they made a lot of changes, right? They changed the play style, the perspective, the world.
The characters.
Yeah, the characters. Still God of War, but it felt like a totally fresh, new approach.
And that's the thing where it's like, Gears just doesn't have that. And again, part of this is my own apathy for the franchise, I think, where I've played a bunch of Gears and, okay, cool. That's Gears. I get it.
I agree with you. I don't think... Like, if I'm Cliffy, and I'm not anywhere near as smart or as talented as Cliffy, nor do I know Gears of War as well, like, he's in his bones. Like, again, he created it.
Yeah.
But if they brought me in and said, what should we do? I would say, off the top of my head, I don't think the answer is Gears 6, 7, and 8.
Yep.
It's something else. And I don't know if that is... I don't know what that is yet. I just know it's not just more of the same.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And that's what my thought process is too, which is why it's interesting then to have... If I'm Microsoft, would I want... and granted, I'm being very selfish on what I would want and where I would try to drive this franchise and what I would try to do with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ring Cliff is in it as a consultant. I know how talented Cliff is. Always been a great dude to me. Do I want those ideas if I'm trying to reinvent this? And right. What does that look like? And for me, I think it's from ground up. Of like, let's change the art style. Instead of the huge hulking people in the giant suits and stuff, like, let's get nuts about what this is and really try. But I don't.
Let's get off that planet. Let's go somewhere else. Let's change up the game style. Maybe it's not just a straight up third person cover shooter.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say this because like it's kind of like a plagued genre right now. But like, sooner or later, someone's going to do an Anthem or a game as a service type game that actually works really well. Mm-hmm. Maybe Gears could go in that direction. That'd I don't know, but it needs a new direction.
That'd be fascinating, yeah, if you were doing a thing where it was like...
Gears MMO or something. I don't know, but like, it needs something new.
No, I mean like an Anthem kind of Gears, and I know we shouldn't but probably like, use that cursed game, but like Destiny kind of Gears.
Yeah, maybe go in that... that's what I assumed... Halo Infinite was going to be. I don't know if it is or not, but I assume that's where they were going with it. I don't know. I have no idea. But yeah, it's not a tier one franchise. By the way, I get the analogy, but it is a bit insulting to compare it to Killzone.
100%. Well, I know. I'm gonna piss people off. And even like when you were saying though, right? Of like maybe they need to get off that planet. Maybe they didn't. The sad thing is maybe they didn't. I don't know.
Right.
You know, it borders in rights in. Right. I would argue that Gears 5 is a change up in the whole. I would argue that Gears 5 is a change-up in the whole series and made it feel the same. Gears 5 might be its God of War moment, and nobody played it because instead of being called Gears of something, it was called Gears 5. The single-player story is my personal top 5 from last year, and it is exactly what you guys are talking about. Try it. And that's what I'm talking about is when it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, I don't care if it then turns into a machine gun and flies around.
Everyone I've spoken to says Gears 5 is terrific.
But when you put a 5 on that game, it is... It's the visual apathy of another Gears.
Here's the thing. If you have a franchise, I've given this a lot of thought. If you have a big enough franchise, you can stick numbers on the end of it. Like Star Wars Episode 8, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because we want more Star Wars. Friday the 13th Part 8, maybe like who gives a fuck? It depends on the franchise.
Sure.
Halo 5, Halo 6, okay. Halo's fucking S tier. Gears of War is not. So if you just keep sticking 5, 6, 7 on the end of it, people are going to just feel like, eh.
See, my thing is,
you've got to do a better job of saying, no, this is something new, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Back to the point of Borzen, which I've heard, and again, I know how much Tim likes Gears 5. You want to talk about marketing in general, right? Like, if that's true, why was the fucking E3 trailer, right? Them just like the woman or Laura Bailey's character moving her head around and stuff, which I know plays into the actual story or whatever, but like me watching that didn't say to me, oh wow, it's a completely different Gears game. And when they did, hey, we're going underneath with the stage at E3 with the new day to watch them play Horde mode and stuff, I'm like, cool, it's Gears. Like if it's a marketing problem, that's a different thing. But again, yeah, Gears 5 doesn't scream, oh my god, this is something I need to get into now.
I mean, look, even Halo, the new one's not Halo 6, it's Halo Infinite.
Which I think is a great move, because I think you said Halo is S tier, and Halo is the Microsoft franchise, but even Halo, I would argue, as it's continued, has lost that steam, where it used to be like the world stopped for Halo. And I think calling it Infinite and talking about it being this brand new experience, I am getting hyped for it. I'm like, let's see what this is all about.
I'm not like a super Halo fan or anything, but... You could argue that Halo has lost a step over the last generation, but it's still nowhere near close to dropping out of S tier. Like, it's fucking still a huge deal.
It's still going
to
be a big deal every time it comes around, yes. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to take that away from it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know what the future of the Gears... Hey, I'll do a Cliffy. Microsoft, come pay me a shitload of money. I'll come in and tell you that you shouldn't make Gears 6, 7, or 8. I gave you that one for free. That's easy. I love you. You put me on a 1. Yeah, don't do 6, 7, and 8. Do something else. And if you want to pay me a lot of money, I'll tell you what you should do. Cliffy and I will both come in. Cliffy, let's put our heads together. Let's get the band back together.
There you go. Who do you think is going to pick that article up now?
Oh, my God.
Rogue One writer wants to team Cliffy V.
I can't say anything.
Can't wait to see it.
I can't say anything anymore.
Can't wait to see the reset era thread after this.
It's actually really handy, though.
When's your Star Fox movie happening?
If I Google myself and I don't like what the top hit is, I just put out a bullshit tweet and it knocks it off the front page.
You're a genius, Gary. Genius.
Number three on the Roper
Report.
Up here
for thinking, down there for dancing, Barrett.
What? Number three? Where? How far down are we going? Your legs?
Yeah,
or
your
higher? Oh, okay. I thought we were talking about the middle. Number three on the Roper Report. Below is coming to PlayStation 4. This is from the press release. Cappy announced today that the dungeon crawler Below will be making its way to PlayStation 4 later this spring. Cappy has also unveiled that it will be releasing a new mode of play, Explore, which will allow players to experience the haunting world of Below with game mechanics optimized to encourage exploration. The new mode will also be coming to Xbox One and Steam. The all-new Explore mode features changes to survival, death, and damage, tuned to be accessible for players who seek more of an action-adventure style of play as they delve into the depths and unravel the mysteries of the dark world of Below. Explore mode invites players to lose themselves on the isle without suffering the exquisite pain of Below's original design. Those looking for a more challenging survival experience will find it in the original game, now called Survive.
Cappy made one of my favorite games of last year.
Grindstone.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Brilliant game.
Yeah. Below is the game that took them forever to make, that gestated forever. It was at every PAX every year. For forever. And then came out the little fanfare. What I had seen earlier was people were stoked about this Explore mode. One of the people was, of course, the number one video game journalist, Andy Cortez. So I wanted to call him. Yeah, he literally responded to the tweet being like, "Yes, baby, this is exactly what I want." I mean, that's how he talks, you know? Yeah, baby. He sounds like Yogi Bear sometimes.
He really does.
Right?
That and like the cross of like a really proud sports dad.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Greg Miller. It's kind of funny. What's going on?
Hey, Andy Cortez, number one games journalist. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm in sunny LA, soaking up all the vitamin D, and it's just beautiful over here.
Awesome.
The beaches, the people, the mood. Loving it. Loving it.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's great. Anyways, you're on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Gary Whitta gave, so far, the best read of your esports announcer thing. You should watch it later.
Oh, I got tagged in it. Somebody clipped it out on Twitch.
Of course they did.
And, you know, I think it was a little too much, like, Destruction Derby voice.
Is he giving me notes?
Not enough of that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Is he giving me notes?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Andy,
I saw you react positively today to this Below announcement of Explore mode, which seems to make it not as grueling. What's going on?
So Below just is a game that I looked so forward to, and then I finally played it, and it just had the roguelike elements and survival elements that I just did not want in that style of game. But everything, it has all the ingredients of something I would love: the atmosphere, the vibe, the aesthetic, and the combat and the exploration. Everything was super, super great. But the fact that I had to keep on getting water to drink or else I would die, and then you die and you spawn back at the place and you have to go back to your body. Like, those are the ingredients that I don't want in this style of game. So now that this is sort of it's sort of opening it up, I guess. It seems more like a Link to the Past style game
now.
Yeah. Hyper Life Drifter action. I'm super into it. I'm so excited because it's a game that I really desperately wanted to love. But roguelikes and survival elements, I just like, no thanks.
All right. Well, we look forward to your report on Kind of Funny.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Hey, guys. I'm over here. John Travolta said hi.
There. Oh, wow. Gary, do you want to pitch John Travolta anything?
No.
All right. We'll talk to you later, man.
California. All right,
I don't know what he's talking about in California.
And also, I don't know what he's talking about. Gary's was the best announcer voice.
Don't listen to him.
I'll watch it back on the clip later. Mm. You know, you know, your own voice never sounds to you the way it does to other people, so I couldn't tell. But I thought I fucking nailed that.
Here's the thing, everybody.
Andy's giving me, fuck him. I'll go be someone else's hype man.
Andy wants to be a voiceover guy, so clearly he sees the talent that comes God-given.
He's threatened.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
He's threatened by Gary Whitta.
He's trying to bring you down.
Andy Cortez fears Gary Whitta. Number four on the Roper Report, we got some Ubisoft earning calls stuff. We're going to start with Brendan Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz. Ubisoft today reported financial results for its third fiscal quarter, showing steep year-over-year sales declines, but managing to beat the downbeat forecast it provided after delaying three major titles at the same time last October. For the 3 months ended December 31st, 2019, Ubisoft reported $456 million in revenue, down 26% year over year. Net bookings were down 25% to $500 million, but still surpassing the $450 million guidance Ubisoft had provided in its earnings report. All that means jack shit is boring. Let's see what Daniel Ahmad has to say from this earnings call as well. This is off his Twitter. They applied several changes over the past few months to better support ongoing development. Numerous actions will allow for even stronger focus on quality of the future titles. They believe they have a strong lineup for the next fiscal year despite tough competition. Ubisoft plans to launch five AAA games between April 2020 and March 2021. Watch Dogs Legion, God and Monsters, and Rainbow Six Quarantine are three of the five titles. Additional titles such as Roller Champions on top of those five. Ubisoft expects three of its next five AAA games to be released between October and December 2020. Again, those three we probably just talked about. The final two AAA games will be released between January 2021 and March 2021. More information on these titles and launch timing is in mid-May. Last year was extremely successful with, growth across Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, Rainbow Six, and other brands. Strong digital transformation allows for additional content updates to be delivered on an ongoing basis. What up, Division? And Uplay driving growth. So, Gary, whole bunch of gobbledygooked in there, right? But the most important thing, this whole AAA business, right?
Yeah.
Expects
three
of its five AAA games to be released between October and December 2020. Then the next two will be January to March 2021.
Okay.
So Assassin's Creed's got to be one of them, right, Barrett? It is.
That's the Viking one, right?
That's the rumor. Yeah,
yeah, that's the
Leah's
going to
be excited about that. She fucking loves Assassin's Creed. She's so into
She put so much time into Odyssey, just like
oh,
me.
My God. Like, I don't know how many hours, but a lot. A lot.
So Gods and Monsters was supposed to come out, what was it? It wasn't originally slated for last year?
Was it or was it early this year? That was one of the ones they're talking about got delayed.
Yeah.
Why are you getting hung up on that, though? Don't worry about that. We're talking about the other two. What are the two unannounced ones?
Oh, well, Assassin's Creed and
Assassin's Creed Far Cry?
Probably Far Cry. I'm just trying to think of, like, I don't know if the... I'm trying to think if Watch Dogs, Gods and Monsters, and Rainbow Six are the three guaranteed ones that they want to put out in the fall. And, like, what are the other two that are coming out
in
spring?
Don't you think?
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you personally care about of these...
Well, Watch Dogs Legion is really cool. Like what I've played, I still think it's gonna be a hard sell because you don't have a main character.
I think it could be cool. I like the fact it's set in London. You know, the Oi Governor stuff puts me. I find a bit off putting.
Yeah, you moved away from that for a reason.
Ugh. No, it's not just that. It's just that it's really badly done.
What?
It's like they hired you to do the voice acting or something. It's
and
fucking
I will
awful.
Work cheap, everybody.
But you know, it could be good. Do you think there'll be a Division 3? Because it seems like Division 2 did okay, but not
Division
super
disappointed
well.
From what they wanted.
Yeah,
it to.
Do you think
yeah,
there'll
yeah.
be a Division 3?
It's the usual argument of if it is, it's so far out, right? It's more of them that the ongoing support, right? Of what they're doing with Division. They still have Episode 3 coming up soon, right? And so like, there's still time for even if it didn't sell well then to do the exact same thing that Division 1 did post launch, which was hey, we fixed it. And remember when it was like,
this new
pass drop, which and it was good before, but it was great then all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I think they're still working on that. And then it becomes, what does that look like? How are you getting people monetized to stick around and do things with it? I mean, that's those are the things Ubisoft cares about.
I mean, they just did this. Either it's out or they announced it, but I saw there's like a big thing. We go to Coney Island. Like it's like a huge new area.
Is that Episode 3?
They're continuing to support it and grow it.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Does Beyond Good and Evil 2... fit anywhere here, do you think? Where are they with that game, man?
No. Beyond Good and Evil 2, such a pipe dream. Everybody's been stoked for so long.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I thought that came and went. I've not been tracking
at
all.
Like
that's another one that feels like it's been around forever in development.
Yeah, like they announced it a couple years ago, I forget when, and then like they showed what they had of it and it was them just like fucking around in the engine.
It feels like it's totally fallen off the radar, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah. They've gone completely silent on it. So.
PC Games End, by the way, yes, is confirming that, Gary. That
the
episode
Coney
3
Island
is Division 2. Episode 3 of the Division 2 arrives sometime in February. As we suspect, it'll take agents to Brooklyn's Coney Island neighborhood and reintroduce some enemies from the original game.
Right? That
Sirens
great.
On the Run.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Let's see what we got here. Answering some of our questions. Lord of Pwn says God and Monsters was originally scheduled for February of this year, Barrett. And then Havoc Maker says, Jason Schreier wrote on Twitter, it's Assassin's Creed and Far Cry. So Greg was right as always. Wow. You know what I'm saying over there? All right, guys, let's keep moving.
But that's interesting because they want both of those games to come out in between January and March. I feel like that's so close to, like, you're putting Far Cry, I feel like, out to die if you're putting an Assassin's Creed and a Far Cry out.
Do you think it's a numbered Far Cry, or do you think it's some weird Far Cry thing?
Well, we just got a weird Far Cry thing, right? So I feel like it's got to be
a numbered one. I'm excited for the first look at that new Assassin's Creed.
Hell yeah. Same. That's what I'm all about, yeah. Number five on the Roper Report, Google Stadia's free tier is coming over the next few months. This is Cameron Faulkner over at The Verge. At launch, Google promised a free tier of its Stadia Cloud Gaming service would arrive sometime in 2020 to go alongside its paid tier. The 12-month span of the year is vague, but Google executive Phil Harrison has narrowed down the waiting period to the next few months per an interview with Protocol. As for whether the next few months might mean August or as early as April or May, we're not sure. Google declined to tell us more. Once the Stadia-based free tier rolls out, Harrison tells Protocol that Stadia can be accessed with no money down, without having to put a box in your home. You can just click and play amazing games straight from our data center. Compare that to today's situation, which sees customers paying three ways to access Stadia. It costs $129 for the Founders Edition, $10 per month after a three-month trial to subscribe to Stadia Pro, which gets you complimentary access to a precious few titles, and you'll need to purchase each game piecemeal. On top of that, its catalog is lacking in games, making it a tough sell for new and current customers.
It's another company that's got a long way to go.
Empty promises, right, from this? Of like, we're working on this.
I don't want to sound like a broken record. We've talked about Stadia on here before. It's not right to ask people to pay to be beta testers unless you're going to be upfront and say it's a beta. They could have saved themselves so much grief if they'd have just said this was a beta. Because it is. It absolutely is. It's not finished. It's not ready. So many of the features they promised are not there. Rolling them out piecemeal, like a bit at a time. It's not good
enough. Let me stop you right here. I agree, it's not good enough. We've beaten the horse of Stadia to death many a times. And granted, now again, you're popping up saying, hey, in the next few months we'll have this free thing. No deadline, no real information there, right?
Yeah.
Have you heard of NVIDIA's GeForce? GeForce Now?
They've got their own cloud.
Just out.
Right.
And the reports are stellar from it.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
Do you know what it is? Because I didn't really know what it is. Somebody asked about it at the end of Games Daily last week. I went and did my research.
Know is that NVIDIA now has its own cloud gaming service, and people like it.
Let's jump into this. We're going to read Sean Hollister's article from The Verge entitled, NVIDIA's GeForce Now is... I'm sorry, Let's try this all again. NVIDIA's GeForce Now is finally out of beta, challenges Google Stadia at $5 a month. For the past 8 years, NVIDIA has been building graphics cards that can stream games over the internet, effectively putting some of the power of a gaming PC inside your less potent Windows laptop, MacBook, or phone. Today, the company is finally ready to let North America and Europe sign up to pay for its GeForce Now service, starting at $5 a month, while also offering unlimited one-hour free trials that don't even require a credit card. The idea might sound familiar if you've heard of Google Stadia service, Sony's PlayStation Now, Microsoft's upcoming xCloud, or even NVIDIA GeForce Now. NVIDIA has been in beta for years and years, so this makes sense. Each service operates on the same principles, blah, 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 blah. Unlike Google, Sony, and Microsoft's offering, NVIDIA has a different pitch. It's your existing library of PC games that you can play right now, anywhere, instead of having to buy new games and or subscribe to a Netflix-like catalog.
Oh, okay.
NVIDIA supports Steam, the Epic Game Store, Battle.net, and Uplay, and it runs instances of each for you in the cloud.
So basically, whatever store you've bought your game from, it'll be available.
You can log into your accounts, download many of your existing purchases near instantly to your cloud desktop, sync your old game saves, and pick up where you left off in a couple of minutes
at most.
That's
cool. That's a different approach, and that's really cool. I like that.
I've been testing GeForce Now on and off for a number of years now, and it's my favorite cloud gaming service because I can keep playing the games I've already been playing on my PC on a week, Windows laptop, MacBook, blah, 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 all the other stuff there. There's no iPhone or iPad support planned, but NVIDIA says it will bring WebRTC version of to Chromebooks, whatever the hell that is. I don't know what that means. While the stream quality isn't quite as good as Stadia at its best, and I wouldn't recommend it for competitive gaming, I did beat Genichiro in the brutal Sekiro Shadows Die twice over a GeForce Now connection. Sounds awesome. Either way, you need a 15 megabits per connection or better, 30 megabits for 1080p 60 streaming, and 50 for what NVIDIA suggests is the best experience. There's no 4K or 1080p 120 options yet. It's the fact you have your whole library there that gets super interesting.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. So, look for more on that soon. I'm going to give that the old tire kick here to go play Kind Words or whatever the hell. Number six and final on the Roper Report. Yeah, it's a doozy. This is a simple one, though. Dreams is getting a Twitch extension. Today, Media Molecule tweeted, "We've updated Dreams Buddy, the Dreams PS4 Twitch extension. Like, follow, and add what's being played on stream to your Play Later queue. Send creation suggestions from chat to your imp and PS4. Various viewer and streamer improvements." Of course, super stoked for Dreams next week to get out into the wild as a full-fledged game. Also awesome, I haven't been on the show since they announced it, that it's coming out on February 14th, of course, Gary. However, on Tuesday, if you have early access, if you bought the early creators access, you get access to the game then. So, incredibly exciting. Gary?
Yes.
I can't wait to see if Dreams takes the world by storm, but that's still so far away. If I wanted to know what was in the Mom and Grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Like, fucking Andy annoyed me so much with his notes, I'm just going to lean into it even harder.
You got
now.
To.
Do it.
Like,
you got
he,
to.
He, he told me to lay off the gas. I'm fucking flooring it.
You know what?
I'm just going to do the opposite of his note.
You know what he just tweeted out, though? That you're easily the best one, though.
Did he?
Yeah.
So he's being hard. It's
me.
Tough love.
I know.
He's
it's tough love.
It's tough love.
I can't. Yeah. Well, okay.
I think it's just he's rooting for you, and he just wants to elevate you even more. You know.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I gotta see this.
Barrett. This is specifically
Hold on,
for
see
you.
What he said.
Okay, you can look it up while I do this. Everybody remembers this whole week we've been talking about the Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance Tactics. We talked about it coming out earlier this week.
Yeah.
And then we were going to give away a Switch, remember?
Yeah.
Can you bring it up to show people what it is again? It's still the hyperlink in there. You click on it. It should throw up the little thing we're doing.
Okay.
Of course, they sent us, said, hey, do you want to give away this? Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance Tactics Switch. We said, we sure do.
I didn't even know there was a Dark Crystal game.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. It's out this week. It's on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, and Mac. But this is just on. We're just giving away the Switch. It's console and the themed thing and everything else. So, the thing was simple. You had to listen to this show to find out about it. Then go to the Kinda Funny Twitter. Then retweet the tweet. And we would pick at random someone from the U.S. to win. The winner, ladies and gentlemen, of the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance Tactics Switch is Cody J. Cody J. from Louisiana.
Ooh.
You have won. I am DMing you
They
right
won
now.
That Switch?
Yep.
Holy shit. That's great. Congratulations.
That's exciting.
I should have done this ahead of time, but you know how it works around here. And I misspelled your when I DM'd him. All right, good, Cody J. Let me know. Out today? Well, first, why don't you let me tell you about our sponsors. We're going to start with Manscaped. Breaking news, this is an important PSA brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is a public service announcement. After more than 18 months of research and development, the Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they've successfully created the world's greatest ball hair trimmer. It's the best thing ever created. This new trimmer was released only moments ago, and we are the first to confirm this new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 manscaping trimmer is now available for purchase. This third-generation manscaped trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free, and it's all thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. Both me and Tim are shaving our balls with these, and two out of two women agree it's a good look. If you use the Lawnmower 2.0, it's an easy transition because it's the same replacement blade with a new and improved skin-safe technology. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. One of the coolest new features is the LED light that illuminates the grooming area for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud because this is intelligently designed, is rapid charging, and it's a dock powered by USB. If you're listening to me speak right now, you're one of the first people to hear about this life-changing product, and I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours and get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code GAMES. Your balls will thank you. Up next, it's Brooklinen. Making your home beautiful is the ultimate form of self-care, and what better time than the new year to treat yourself? You spend a third of your life in the sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? In this new year, it's time to get comfortable, like with new bedding, loungewear, towels, and more. Home of the internet's best sheets, Brooklinen's got over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting. Everybody here at Kinda Funny uses them. Myself, Tim. Tim just got new ones. I don't know why. I think he got the towels, too. He's amazing. But I love my amazing, comfortable sheets. You should do that, too. These are all luxury products without the luxury markup. If you like softness, comfort, essentials to help you relax, Brooklinen has it all. Brooklinen.com is the place to hit refresh on your new year. Go on and make yourself comfortable. Brooklinen is so confident in their products that they give all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, and more a lifetime warranty. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping on all the new sheets when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. And finally, it's Raid Shadow Legends. Raid is a mobile RPG done right. Not every RPG game must be cartoony and cutesy. Enough with candy rainbows, unicorns, and bright colors. Get real, raw, dark, epic, and awesome. Raid Shadow Legends will take you to the world of dark fantasy and realism. And now, you can play Raid on both your mobile and your desktop. The game is cross-device, so you can play with the same user and switch between devices whenever you want and however you want. Everybody thinks the graphics are amazing on the PC version, and the game is super fast as well. Raid has all the features you'd expect from a brand new RPG title, like an amazing storyline, awesome 3D graphics, giant boss fights, PvP battles, and hundreds of champions to collect and customize. People have been playing it. They can't believe the performance they're getting out of this mobile game. Check out the amazing graphics and detail on those champions, and in Raid, you have the ability to personally customize and choose the artifacts and design a unique mastery build for each one of them. And the best part is it's free to play. More than 15 million players worldwide have already downloaded the game, so go click the link in the description box and start playing. You'll not just get to enjoy one of the best mobile games of the moment, you'll also be supporting the show. What are you waiting for? Download Raid via my link, patreon.me/kindoffunnygamesraid, which you'll also find in the description to get a special package with 100,000 silver, 2 clan boss keys, 10 mystery shards, and the amazing champion adjudicator. This package will be available only for the next 30 days. Out today! Kune. PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Knights and Bikes, a favorite of mine, comes to Switch. Code Realize, Guardian of Rebirth, comes to Switch. Panda Ball comes to PS4. You Oni, Rises comes to Switch. Sen 789 comes to Switch. Just a Phrase by Pawagi comes to PS4 and Switch. Shiny Ski Resort comes to Switch. Nerved comes to Switch. Stalaxy comes to PC. Sector Assault comes to PC and Mac. Scourgebringer comes to PC and Mac. Order of the Gatekeepers comes to PC. Rakow comes to PC. Tales of the Deck comes to PC and Mac. Ghosts and DJs comes out on Steam today. GTA Online, of course, has an update that includes a new pickup truck, double rewards. This week's Lucky Wheel top prize is the Garotti Ferrari, discounts, and then the ongoing Twitch Prime benefits. And then, as we talked about yesterday, Harley Quinn, Gotham's most iconic Maiden of Might, arrives in Fortnite starting February 6th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. The item shop features the Harley Quinn bundle, which includes the Harley Quinn outfit and the Harley Hitter and Punchline pickaxes. If you're up for hijinks, Harley arrives with new challenges that will transform her from Little Monster XOXO Harley to Always Fantabulous Harley. New dates for you. Murder by Numbers is coming to Switch on March 5th and Steam March 6th. Skull, the Hero Slayer, launches February 19th on Steam. Broomstick League is coming to Steam March 5th. Ghost Giant, a PlayStation VR game we played on the PSVR show, comes to Oculus Quest on February 20th. And then Metro Exodus is returning to the Steam store on February 15th, 2020. If that wasn't enough for you, how about some deals of the day? We got Xbox Free Play Days. Free Play Days is back with more fun games for you to play. This weekend, Xbox Live Gold members can play 3 great games that Ultimate members have been enjoying for months. Colonize and unlock the mysteries of the Red Planet in Surviving Mars. Find a way to either survive or stalk your prey in Dead by Daylight Special Edition, and rescue your friend with a spy in your midst in Secret Neighbor. Xbox Live Gold members can play these games from Thursday, February 6th until Sunday, February 9th at about 11:59 p.m. You know what I mean? They don't want it to roll over there, Gary.
I get it.
Do you get it, Gary? Do you understand time?
No, not really.
Not really. I didn't think you would.
I've never really gotten it.
Gary?
Yes?
It's time to squad up.
All right.
This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has fun. Today, email needs help on the PS4. His username on the PS4, Emil Eber. So E-M-I-L-E-B-E-R. He says, "Hi, Greg and Gary. I'm one of the Kinda Funny best friends working on the Kinda Funny Dreams project. We got off to a good start around the launch of Dreams Early Access, but then ran out of steam. Now, with the full launch of Dreams imminent, we are up and running again and have got some big things planned. However, we still lack the manpower to properly execute on our lofty ambitions. We need all the help we can get and are currently trying to recruit every kind of funny best friend in dreams. Come join our Discord server and help make our dream a reality. Then he puts in this thing, and it's just really long. So, again, go to PlayStation 4 and hit up email Eber, E-M-I-L-E-B-E-R.
You know what would be cool? And you go to the new studio. Somebody should create the new Kind of Funny studio in Dreams. That would
sure.
be great.
Yeah, the old one's in there.
Oh, is it?
People made so much cool Kind of Funny shit in Dreams already. I'm really impressed
with the stuff that you can make in Dreams.
I can't wait. I'm very excited to see
that. The sky's the limit.
Yeah, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for You're Wrong. This is where people watching live on Twitch go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. Gorzin007 writes in and says, a lot of people played Gears 5. The company announced that Gears 5 hit 3 million players on opening week. That gave it the highest first week player count of any game since Halo 4 launched in 2012.
That's good.
Notably, that first week figure included the 4-day early access period that began on Friday, September 6th, which only the Ultimate Edition purchasers and Game Pass Ultimate subscribers could use. Yep. But again, I don't hear people talk about Gears ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not... Yeah, it's not one of those things. It's like, it's not a zeitgeisty kind of game. Like, it's not a game that's like just in, like, you know, certain games come out and they're just like in the air supply. Like, you can't get away from them, you know? And I don't think Gears is one of those games.
We'll see.
Maybe it doesn't need to be. I mean, you know, if it continues to make money and ticking over nicely for Microsoft, you know, maybe it doesn't need emergency surgery or a change in direction. It might not.
We'll see. I think for what Xbox does next, they need fresh blood. Yeah. They need fresh ideas. And I think just coming back to the well.
And they just lost. We talked about what a gain it is for Blizzard to get Rod Ferguson. Let's not forget that goes the other way. They just lost Rod Ferguson.
One. Yeah. Lord of Pwn gets the final one. He says, Steven Totillo has an update about the Ubisoft call. Between Watch Dogs Legion, God and Monsters, and Rainbow Six, one of those was delayed to January/March of 2021. Interesting. I don't have... There's no corroboration on that. If you want to look up Twitter, you can. But that's what's in here right now. I cannot confirm or deny that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's your Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday. Tomorrow, Blessing and I are here to close out the week. If you're enjoying me and Gary being me and Gary, remember, there's still a post show. We got a question in the bank right now, one in the chamber. So go on over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to watch that. Get the show ad-free and have a great time. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow. You know all the places to go. Right, Gary?
Yes.
Perfect. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.